3, 2, 1.
Welcome to It's Fabula!
True personal story.
It's Fabula.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And time for Exfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Rachel Owens, joined again by Exfabula co-founder Leah Delaney. Welcome back.
Hello again. Nice to see you.
Likewise.
Yeah, I'm really, really happy that we're doing this particular radio show today under the theme of difficult conversations. Milwaukee, especially, I feel, because we are in this community, but all over the place, we are being bombarded by racism issues, whether it be through in our immediate community or social media or the news. And it's really, really hard, I think, for parents to create a succinct message to send to your children about what all this means. It's very difficult, and it's rich in conversation. So Exfabula is creating a safe space to discuss ways to talk to your children about racism. And we're holding another one of these fellowship events, Talking to Children About Race, on Tuesday, April 3rd. This event is free, and it is primarily focused towards parents and guardians. However, it is open to teenagers. With that, we are providing childcare and dinner as well. And because it was so popular last year, it does require pre-registering. So you can get all that information on exfabula.org. So in accordance to our event coming up, we brought a couple stories from our last Talking to Children About Race Fellowship event in 2017. Let's start out today's show with Elaine Molly's story.
This is my story about talking to kids about race across generations. It's the story of a lot of small conversations. When I was really young, about 5 years old, I was at a shoe store at Capitol Court with my mother. An African-American gentleman waited on us. I had never seen anyone like him before, and I could not stop staring. I said out loud, "What is the matter with his face?" My embarrassed mother whispered, "He's just like you and me. God just left some people in the oven a little longer," which made me think, oh, so he's kind of like a burnt cookie, like me, but somehow imperfect. I wanted my conversations with my sons to be different. We went to Juneteenth Day, we went to the Mitchell Street Sun Fair, we went to Indian Summer, and I got them involved in the Boys and Girls Club where I worked. When my oldest son, Sam, was in about the second grade, he had a homework assignment to do a presentation about the culture of his nationality. I was super annoyed by this because we are Croatian, German, and Bohemian. Which one was I supposed to pick? Plus, I did not like the idea of this teacher separating the class by race and nationality. So I came up with what I thought was a simple solution. I told Sam, "We're going to tell that teacher that we're American." And we talked about what we thought of as American culture. Hot dogs and hamburgers, baseball games, the 4th of July. Well, when Sam came back from school the day of the presentation, he was really annoyed with me. Because the teacher said that if we're claiming to be American, she wanted to know what tribe we belong to. Not so simple. When younger brother Ben was in about the second grade, his two best buddies were Mexican cousins Vinny and Julian. We spent loads of time with them and their families. They went to school together. They played soccer together. We went to church festivals and volunteered together. And after one joyous outing, Ben asked me, "Could we please, 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 please be Mexican?" Of course, I had to say no. "But why?" he pleaded. "I'm brown like they are." And I had to explain that, our Croatian ancestors gave us brown skin, nice olive skin. But we can't be Mexican and they can't be Croatian. We can't change our identity. We can't change who we are. In high school, Sam was seeing a girl he wouldn't tell me much about. I thought he wouldn't tell me anything about her, but it was really bugging me. So one day she came to pick him up in a car and he dashed out while I was busy. But my husband caught a glimpse of her and he said, I think she's African American. But when I asked Sam about it, because it felt like he was hiding this from me. When I asked him about it, he said, what difference does it make? Like, oh, right, it doesn't make a difference. When Ben was in high school, he was riding in a car with an African-American friend, Jason, through Sherwood. And they got pulled over by the police. And when I went to pick him up, he said that Ben swore he had done nothing wrong, and the police offered absolutely no explanation. And we had to talk about, what it meant, what those neighborhoods meant. That it was fine for him to walk around and drive around Sherwood, but it was different for his friend Jason. And now I'm talking to my grandsons. When Ezra was in the second grade, he told me one day that he didn't like brown people. And I said, well, why not? He said, well, Kenny is really mean. Well, are there any brown people you do like, Ezra? Oh, yes, he said, I like Trevor. And I said, what about Nathan? He's white and you don't like him. Oh, he said, I guess I like some brown people and I don't like some white people. That wasn't perfect, but I hope what he was learning was to not judge people by the color of their skin. Noah said to me just the other day, he's in sixth grade, he said, why would anyone discriminate against people of color? And I had to explain that some white people thought that people of color were not as good as white people. And he said, that's crazy. So true. I am grateful for all of the awkward, imperfect, small conversations I've had with my sons and my grandsons. I'm proud of them and who they are. You know, people say that talk is cheap. But indeed, conversation breaks down barriers and it builds community. I'm going to keep on talking to them and I hope they'll keep talking to me. Thank you.
And that was Elaine Molly from our 2017 fellowship event, Talking to Your Kids About Race. Of course, we are talking about this particular theme due to the fact that we have another fellowship event coming up on April 3rd.
Well, finishing off the season in very strong form this year.
Yes, we have a lot of fellowship events coming up in April. So we want everybody to stay tuned for those and you can get all that information about that and also our story slams and everything else on exfabula.org. But please don't leave. We have one more story left for today's show. Again, from our Talking to Your Kids About Race from 2017, here's Jen Heppner.
My first memory of talking about race was when I was in kindergarten, and I came home one day and from school and was teaching my younger sister a playground chant that I had learned. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a N-word by the toe. And my mom promptly came into the room where I was teaching my sister this and said, Jennifer, do you know what that means? That N-word that you just said? And I was like, no, I really don't know what that is. I just thought that's part of the rhyme. And she's like, we need to sit down, girls. I thought I was in trouble. I thought I had done something wrong. But as it turned out, I wasn't in trouble. I was just about to be educated and empowered. My mom said, you know, that word is a really mean word. It was made up by mean white people who think that they're better, smarter, nicer than black folks. But that's not true. And if any, you know, if black people would hear that word, it would be really, it would hurt their feelings. And we don't use that word, even though there's no black folks in our town, because I'm from way up north in Wisconsin, where there are no black people. She said, still, we're not going to say that word here in the house or outside in public because it's just so mean and it's false. She said, you will hear this word friends, family, classmates are going to say it, but we're still not going to say it. And she said, the reason you're going to hear it is because most of the people around here don't know any better. They're ignorant. They've never met a black person. She said, I'm from Chicago. I have had neighbors, classmates, and friends who were black, and I know better. I know that that's not true. She said, black folks are just as nice and good and smart as everyone else. And, you know, not everybody is, but not all white people are nice and smart and good either, right? So it's just a false term. And she said, when you go out and you hear that, you're welcome to tell the people you hear saying that word what I told you. And I did. When I went back to school, of course, I heard it again, and I said what my mom had said, repeated that. And some people were like, ah, who cares? But some people were like, yeah, you know, we don't like that word at my house either. And one of the popular girls, Paula, actually said, yeah, I think we should say tiger instead. So we said, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by the toe. And that's what we said from then on. My own first encounter with talking about race with my child didn't go quite as smoothly as that. My daughter is biracial, her dad is African American, and I'm white. And when she was pretty young, probably kindergarten, maybe even younger, she started complaining to me about people staring at her when she's out in public. I did not believe her. But she continued to complain, and I would say things like, oh, it's just because you're so pretty. They like looking at you, or they like your clothes. And at one point, I was like, okay, I gotta do something about this. So I said, how about this? We'll have a code word. And when someone is staring at you, you give me the code word, and I will check out the situation. And so we're out in a restaurant. She gives me the code word, and sure as I catch somebody staring at my baby. And I was livid. I was really mad. I wanted to go right over in there and just be like, what the f*** are you staring at? And I was also mad at myself because I had failed to believe her in the beginning when she was telling me this. So I said to her, oh, you're right. Someone's staring at you. What should we do about it? She's like, I don't know. And I said, should I stare back? Yeah, let's do that. So I just got in between the line of vision and I was like, she liked that. She thought that was a pretty good way to get back at him. So, a more recent conversation that we've been having, she's in middle school now. She's about to turn 13. And she's telling me about how racial slurs are just used at will at her school. And, you know, she's telling me about one particular instance that keeps happening with one of her African-American male classmates, where he keeps getting called the N-word by people who are not African-American. And, you know, he'll take it, and then he'll say something like, knock it off, really loud, and then he gets in trouble because he's too loud. The teachers either don't hear what the other kids are saying, or they hear it and they're not doing anything about it. And one time, he took it, and then he pushed somebody. Well, now he's in trouble, and he's being violent. And I'm seeing a pattern here that I don't like. And I want to go to that school, and I want to raise some hell about this, but she is adamant that I not do that. Because she said, Mom, if you tell, then they're going to come after me. And I don't want that to happen to my baby, and I do not want her to feel like she can't come to me. I have to keep those lines of communication open because if I betray her on what she wants, then she just won't talk to me about stuff like that anymore, and I can't have that. I have made some anonymous calls to the school, and they want names. Well, who's doing it? I can't name names. I can't say who I am. So if anybody has any recommendations for me, please let me know.
And that was Jen Heppner's Talking to Your Children About Race story.
Sounds like conversations we all need to have with ourselves at some point as well.
Most definitely. You know, we really try to create these safe spaces for people to walk into, to really share and really get to the nitty-gritty, because knowledge is power in prevention of race. And when you talk to children about it, you're airing it out, giving them an opportunity to formulate some really positive, progressive thoughts about how to handle themselves in the community and such.
And for people who want to attend live events, you have a few more things coming up.
Oh, gosh. Yes, we do. We are winding up April and May. We have one more Story Slam. That's right, one more. It's going to be on April 10th. It is Last Straw, and that's going to be held at the Time Cinema. And then after that, we're taking all those audience favorites, per usual, and we're sending them up to Turner Hall Ballroom stage to tell longer stories for our All Stars event, which is coming up in May. So, oh, goodness, we're really, like, winding up here for a big explosion at the end of the season.
Sounds fantastic. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for coming in, Leah. Very great conversations, and happy Easter.
Happy Easter.